The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats of this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So, I love that opening line of Ephesians. Be careful how you live. It sounds like something my mother used to say to me as a child, right? You know all those be careful warnings you got? Be careful about not swallowing your gum because it's going to live in your stomach for, what, 5 years, was it? Some abnormal amount of time. Be careful to not go swimming right after you eat because you're going to cramp, drown. Very serious. But, you know, there are also some less dramatic be careful, some really basic ones like be careful how you treat others because that's going to reflect how you are treated. And so that opening line of the Ephesians is something that's familiar for us in our exhortation. And I appreciate it because Ephesians talks a lot actually about how we as Christians should live. The author, maybe Paul, but disputed. But the author of Ephesians is saying, what does it mean to live the Christian life? And if we're going to live the Christian life, we actually need to think about it. It's something that we do intentionally. And so today we get these examples. You need to live wisely. You need to not drink too much. I know that's a hard one at St. Cross because we do love our wine. Robin and I both kind of smiled on the debauchery one there. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to sing psalms and hymns that praise God in our hearts and remind us of that connection that we have to the Almighty. In short, the author is telling us not to live our lives of the world, but to live our lives by our faith. To live our lives as if it is directed by the Spirit, by God, who guides us through the teachings of Jesus. The letter of Ephesians, if we were actually to back up to the very, very first chapter, it would talk about, it's one of its opening phrases says that the will of God is to bring all things together in Christ. Think about that. The will of God is to bring all things together in Christ. And if that is the will of God, then I think that the first step of that, the first step of bringing all things together in Christ is through our baptism, right? Right? Baptism is our entrance into the Christian faith. Baptism is when we claim ourselves as Christ's own, and Christ claims us as Christ's own. But the question is that we are baptized, but with that baptism, we actually have a mandate to live our lives differently. Right? We have those baptismal covenant vows that we make. You know, the ones that we say at the end, I will with God's help. It's our reminder that we don't live according to what the world out here tells us, but to what God in here tells us. The author of Ephesians is encouraging us to make decisions based on our faith. Now that may seem odd. When was the last time you were in the grocery store looking at like the bread display and you're like, well, which one does Jesus want me to buy today? All right, like so we may not do it in every part of our lives. But what about when we get down to major decisions? Where we work, how we spend our time, how we shape our relationships, where we put our money and our energy. I think those are decisions that are supposed to be shaped by our faith. Now, it's easy for us to talk about this because, see, we're all sitting in church, right? We're all faithful people. Am I correct? You all made it here? It's the 8 o'clock. I'm not expecting you to be big responsive, but are you all here today? All right, just checking. But here's my question. Does coming to church, and I hope the answer is yes, but you know, you gotta, it's between you and God. Does coming to church change your life when you walk out of here? Does coming to church make you live differently? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. You see, all of us come to church on a Sunday, and we may be touched by the liturgy, or the hymns, or our community, or the breakfast that OSL is going to serve to us today, and Family Promise. We may be shaped by scripture study, or by prayer, or by that one-on-one conversation I see you all have in the pews after service, when you're catching up about something deeply important in your lives. But do we take those moments into our Monday through Saturday? And if so, how? Because our Sunday time should be informing our faith. It should be deepening our faith to strengthen us for all that we do in our week. It's easy to think that Sunday is just about Eucharist and coffee and a donut, but really it's about reminding ourselves that the Spirit is burning in us and calling us forth. And so wherever we find ourselves during the week, in the bread aisle at the grocery store, maybe, but at work, at school, in the coffee shop, at the doctor's office, wherever that may be, how are we allowing the Spirit's presence into those moments? How are we inviting God into our life? Because God is there, but how are we inviting ourselves to pay attention to that God is in our lives? How are we allowing the Spirit to work through us? To be the messengers of God's love, to show that our lives are different because they are led by faith. All week I've had that insipid yet true song, they will know we are Christians by our... How do people know that you are Christian? By your love. So to that end, the staff of St. Cross has been working the past few months, and one of the great questions that actually Reverend Robin has helped us shape is, what is the spiritual arc of the life of the parish? or what are our spiritual arcs in our parish? And I was like, well, we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this. But it got us into this really rich conversation. From birth to death, from baptism to confirmation, marriage, and burial. How are we shaping the lives? How are we working to be sure that each of you have opportunities to strengthen your faith? And how are we encouraging that? And one of the ways that we strengthen our faith is through reading the scripture. And not just on Sunday mornings. And yes, I have heard the pleas for those of you who want an evening Bible study. I'm on it. But as we began to put together Bible Study 101 for this coming fall. Tell me if you've seen the advertisement for that. It just lets me know. All right, so we're doing an evening Bible study. We're doing it. But as we talked about it, it wasn't that we just wanted to come and sit and talk. And women's Bible study, we laugh a lot because we want to know, is this true? Did he walk on water or not? Were there really 5,000 people exactly? And did that include the women and children or not? We like to get down, and this is St. Cross, and this is, you know, educated people. We want the details and the facts, and we want to know what's real and why are there two creation stories and two flood stories, and how can that be? But what we're hoping with Bible Study 101 is to engage the Spirit. Not just to look at like what's true or what's not true, but actually to be way less concerned about that and way more concerned about how is what the Word is saying here affecting and changing our lives when we walk out the door. How does Scripture strengthen us? How does Scripture inform our faith? How does Scripture become something that we hear when we go to make those larger life decisions and even just walk through our daily lives? It's a good question for us to ponder because you see, at baptism, we become instantly Christian. But to become wise Christians, like Ephesians exhorts us to, well, that takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of engaging God. It takes a lifetime of being in prayer. It takes a lifetime of being part of a community. You all have heard me say religious but not spiritual is great, but you can't be religious and not spiritual and not be part of a community because all religion has come out of community. How can you strengthen your faith bit by bit? Day by day, prayer by prayer, God moment to God moment, or as we're trying to encourage Scripture study to Scripture study. Ephesians tells us that it is our job to engage our faith wisely. And if you were to ask me to engage it with clarity, to engage our relationship with God with a thankful heart. Imagine if we actually went through our week singing psalms and hymns and tunes of joy in our heart. Imagine if we kept that joy with us. How people would know who we are and whose we are. So I encourage you this day, as the author of Ephesians does, to be careful. Be careful. Be careful to pray each and every day. Be careful to think about where God is calling you each and every day. Be careful to pay attention to Scripture and to study it and to listen for the Word of God pulling you in those stories. Be careful and know that others do pay attention to what we do to what we say and to how we treat others and what informs us. So be careful how you live. Be careful to live your life to show God's love. Amen.